Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark.
And I'm Dave.
And we're here to talk about the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, man, this is going to be a great breakdown. It looks like we have a pretty big game coming up here on the 10th tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern. We play against the 76ers. They are one of the East's best and one of the best in the league right now. This will be a difficult game, but I'm ready for our guys to show up and ready to play.
That's right, man. We got a good game, and I'm really excited to see what this young group can bring out. We're really pumped about watching these young guys play and get opportunities they wouldn't otherwise have gotten. And so we really appreciate you taking the time to join us for The Last Storm. Here we go.
All right, so going into tomorrow, we are still missing Bazley, still missing Dort, we are still missing SGA and Isaiah Roby at this moment. It will be interesting to see how the rest of the guys fall out or we're able to get the guys to play. Ty's coming off a huge game yesterday. I think that's a career high that he had at 23 points. That was a really great job by him. Look for him to do something similar tomorrow. I'm just really excited about Ty. I'm excited about his progress that he continues to get better at, and it will be exciting to see what happens.
Yeah, that's what this year has turned into at this point, is an opportunity to see who's going to be able to contribute in the future. Kenny Hustle, Ty Jerome, Moses Brown, these are just a few of the players that have really shown that they have the potential. What they kind of lack at this moment is the ability to do it consistently, and watching them grow and develop into those types of players, I wonder if some of these players, you know, would ever have those opportunities anywhere else, you know. And seeing Svi, Mihailuk, and Ty Jerome, like I mentioned, those two guards have really come a long way, and Théo Maledon has become sort of like the star of that group. And where else could you see this type of progression? We've had two players under 20 score 20 in a game, and they've done it twice now, in Théo and Poku. And we had a friend who said that he expects Poku to be Damian Lillard in the future and Théo be Dirk Nowitzki. And, you know, that's funny to say, but man, those guys are really playing great. They've shown the ability to do so many things that are, you know, so far progressed than anything I've seen from players who are 19 in so long. And it's been a really special year, and we're just pumped up about watching this team play right now.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Looking at Jalen Horde right now and looking at the way that he's progressed in the few short games that he's played, he's proving that he can be a double-digit point player on 20-something minutes a night. That's really big to have, especially at the power forward position. Yes, he runs at a 6'8", a small power forward, but, you know, I believe in small power forwards. They're versatile. They can play small forward, power forward. Playing against a small forward, they're typically right at size, if not a little bit taller than the typical small forward in the NBA. So seeing these guys play multiple positions, Isaiah Roby and Jalen Horde, Josh Hall is another guy that's had to play a lot of different positions, Darius Bazley. These are the guys that we get excited about in our power forward position. That can play small forward and also the center if needed. We can lean on them like that. So our 6'8" guys are pretty phenomenal, and it's exciting to see how Sam Presti and Coach D see what the NBA is going to be able to use in the 6'8" small forward and power forward positions.
Yeah, and that's what this is all about at this point, is exploring the roster, finding out who's capable of what, how far they can go. And, you know, putting them in positions like where instead of being, you know, working off of the really elite players, they're having to create for themselves. That's one thing I've heard a lot of people talk about. When SGA was in the game, people were like, you know, it seems like the offense gets kind of stagnant, because it would get to them and everybody would kind of stop and watch. And it seems like now that they don't have SGA and they don't have Dort and Bazley to always be in attack mode, they're having to figure out how to be in attack mode instead of just shooting the shots when they're open. And they're figuring out how to be these types of players that they need to be when the other players are back so that we are always in aggressive attack mode. So we're seeing this progression, and it's been really awesome. And a lot of it hasn't gone completely smooth, but that's why, you know, it's been such a cool year. We competed like crazy for the first, you know, from December really to the end of March. And then in April, we had a rash of injuries that just put us in a spot where we're looking at it and it's just like, we're probably not going to be able to recover into, you know, being able to compete in the playoffs. So leaving those players shut down gives us this incredible tryout for these other young players. And I'm really excited to see what happens next, because the real question is, can they figure out a way to compete and win some games? And, you know, against the 76ers, Embiid is back. He's been playing great. They figured out ways to win without him. So you have to really, you know, recognize this is another chance to go against an elite team. And how long can we compete is a really critical question in a game like this.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. And here's the thing about right now, it's going on in the West, is none of the teams, I would say 8 through 10, so the three teams, 8, 9, and 10 ranked, they can't get wins right now. Nobody can get wins. So even if we can't pull out a couple wins here and we continue this 5-game losing streak that we have, I don't think it's something that's going to continue to get worse for us in the West. I think it's going to be one of those things that even if we lose 7 or 8 games in a row before we're winning one, I think it's going to be sitting at, you know, probably 4.5 games, 5.5 games outside of that 10th spot. To me, that's not very much ground to cover, especially with everything that's been going on. Yes, I understand the tanker side of view is that we're sitting at that, you know, sweet spot, as they like to call it, right in there between, you know, 8 and 7, I think it is right now, 8 and 6 that we're sitting right now. So I understand what they're saying, and we can keep on moving up with more losses, and especially the loss to the Cavaliers. Like, I get it. I understand their viewpoint. But the thing is that this team isn't giving up. This team isn't going to lay down. There's too much passion. There's too much heart on this team. Look for this team to really care and kick in right now. Once SGA, if he comes back and they don't shut him down, once he gets back, this team is going to be very, very good. Do I think they're going to be able to make the play-in spot? Yes, if SGA gets back. If they decide to hold SGA because his injury is more serious than what we realize, then that's something that we're all going to have to deal with. But that doesn't mean, like Mark said, we should give up on the season. We should all sit back, watch what's happening, because this is really their opportunity, all these players' opportunity to earn a spot on this roster. Not for now, not for next year, but for many years down the road. And I think that these are the guys that Ty and Baze and SGA and all these other guys that we have that are under 23 years old, and even Kenny Williams at 26, these are all guys that we're going to see on this team for many, many more years. It's exciting stuff. And if you can't sit back and relax and watch it for what it is, that's fine. But, you know, a shout out here to Dakota. He said to me, don't give up the faith. Don't give up that this team's not making a push to the playoffs. And I'm not. I'm not at all. I'm not turning my back on this saying that it's time for Oklahoma City to throw in the towel. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is I'm okay with it going anyway. This is not a tank. This is a player. Our injuries, the way that George Hill went out early in the season, the way that Al missed more than half of our games by the time there was All-Star break. Like there was so many circumstances that happened that really put us in an awkward position, and then we lost SGA. And losing SGA for a third of the season and still being able to be in a playoff position is a win, in my opinion. There's no way that that's a fail, because if we had SGA in the last 10 games, we probably win 3 of those, if not 4 of those. And guess what that means? We're in 10th spot. So that's a legitimate thing to keep an eye on and notice as time's going on. This was a very successful year.
Yeah, the key is, like, we understood that that Sam Presti would never put the young stars in a position to completely lose everything and to lose their confidence and lose every game and to just be in a position to fail. And when those injuries hit us really hard, it became clear that things were going to be adjusted. And sometimes that happens in a rash of injuries. If you look at it, that's a big way in how the Spurs were able to get Tim Duncan was David Robinson was injured, and instead of bringing him back to play after they had lost a lot of ground and they weren't going to make the playoffs, they went ahead and held him out. So when I look at that, I think there's a good chance that we continue to keep those young players out. This is an extremely condensed schedule. There's, I think, 20 games in about 40 days. It's pretty crazy how fast they hit. And in a situation like this, when we have a chance to let these young players figure it out, I think it's a really special opportunity for them. I do believe they're going to figure out a way to win some games. How many? I'm not sure. And the success of this team should not be, judged based on how many games they win. It should be based on what we see as far as progression goes. A lot of the teams that we're playing are trying to get into the playoffs. A number of them are ranked, you know, lower than us in the season. And so they're going to be competing to beat us, to pass us. And as that happens, you have to recognize that that's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, you can look at it and say, we want to win each game and we're going to cheer for this team to win each game. But that doesn't mean that we're not going to cheer for a high draft pick too. Like if we're willing to cheer for the players at the back of the bench, you better believe we're going to cheer for every single player that ever wears a Thunder uniform. So I do want to see this team figure out how to win games. I do want to see the young players, you know, figure it out. My goal is to continue to watch this team progress and to see the strides they make. But, you know, there is always that consolation that if they don't figure it out, we're going to get a really good draft pick, and we're going to get a couple of them, hopefully, if the Rockets can, you know, somehow avoid getting too many losses there. You know, we want them to be in a position where we likely get their pick too. And because of the way it's set up, you know, the only pick we won't get would be the Miami pick, which we get 2 out of 3 between us three. So, I mean, I'm just like, I feel like the thing to understand that's really different between us and the Tankers is we will never cheer for the team that is out there to lose games. We won't cheer for any injuries. You know, we totally understand the value in getting high draft picks, but that doesn't mean we're ever going to ever, ever cheer for bad things to happen to our players. So we see totally what's going on right now. And we get that this team still can figure it out. It's probably not going to be against the 76ers or the Jazz, right? But after that, we have a string of games that are totally winnable for us. And I don't know how many of them a young team like this can figure out how to win in such a condensed time. But if they can win a couple of those, that's going to be substantial for their confidence. And I look forward to them winning every single game that they can win. My expectations, obviously, after that loss to the Cavs aren't nearly what they would be if SGA was on the team. I mean, 100%, I feel like if SGA, Dort, Bazley were out there, I feel like this team would be a legitimate team to compete for that 10 spot, maybe even the 9 spot with the way that the Spurs are falling. But with those guys out, you just have to be realistic. And, you know, we're probably not going to make that move past the Warriors. That's, you know, and there's a number of teams between us and the Warriors at the 10 spot. So with the team we have, I want to see them, you know, I want to see them figure it out. But in the end, we have to recognize that we win even if we lose, and that this organization is encouraging these players to be successful, not to lose and not to be failures. And so that's why we're totally cool with this, because we understand that, like, this is a part of rebuilding, but it's a huge, huge difference between rebuilding and tanking.
Absolutely. And looking at the game tomorrow night, look at our second chance points to be increased. We're only averaging 10.3 a game right now. Tony Bradley, I feel like, is going to have a great game. This is an opportunity for him to be able to play against his old team and do some great things. Second chance points, like I said, we're only getting 10.3 a game. That has gone up almost nearly 2 points a game since Moses Brown has come playing for this team. He continues to do some great things. We are going to have to keep Philly off of the offensive boards. They're one of the better offensive teams on offensive boards, at least. They're going to do some great things, and we have to do a better job at fast break points. We continue to struggle at this, and a lot of that the reason is because Isaiah Roby and Baisley and SGA and Dort that lead our team in fast break points, they're not on the floor right now. So that's just something that we're going to have to see our team do a better job at during this time. Philly does a great job. They do an amazing job at fast break points. They get 15.6 a game. We have to slow them down. And that's what that comes down to. Philly is also a great three-point shooting team. So they're going to be one of those teams that we have to make their shots very difficult. We're one of the best teams at contesting three-point shots as well. So I look at that as being something that will be great. As far as turnovers goes, that's a wash. We're pretty much averaging the same amount of turnovers a game as they are. And you know, one thing that I love to see is that we're averaging the same amount as assists as they are at 23 a game. That's a really big thing to see. This team's really doing well, and we continue to up our rebounds per game. And we're looking at 45 rebounds per game, which is an increase of nearly 3 rebounds since All-Star break.
Yeah, I mean, for me, what I'm looking forward to seeing is this team pick up the defensive intensity and turning some of that defense into offense, like you were saying, and increasing our fast break points. That's what this team needs to figure out. We have a lot of players that play really well in chaos, and generating that chaos hasn't really been a strength of ours in the recent games. We need to figure out how to disrupt other teams, and I think that starts out with our defensive intensity. But really, in a game like the way that the NBA is played, you can't just go out there and, you know, be overbearing and press down and just push things. You have to figure out how to play in the flow and not overdo things, not try too hard, but try the right amount. And if you try too hard, they're going to call a lot of fouls, and understanding the like where that edge is and getting close to it but not over it, that's really going to be the key for this team. Kenny Hustle, he's been getting a lot of fouls early, so he's been trying to back off across that. And the other players have been kind of a little bit passive early, so they need to get closer to that edge. So figuring that out is really critical. We're not going to, like I said, we're not expecting to come out and beat the 76ers. We know it's the NBA, and these are NBA players, and anything is possible. We're going to cheer for that to happen. And we know that there's a bunch of people who are cheering for them to lose. And, you know, unfortunately, it's not just the people who cheer for the Sixers that are cheering for this team to lose. And that's some bullshit that we want to call out. And we want to recognize that that's the difference between us and them.
Yeah, man. And this is exciting news just coming out of Oklahoma City right now. An injury update has been updated. Darius Baisley has been given a probable designation ahead of Saturday's matchup against the 76ers. That doesn't mean he's going to play against the 76ers, but it does mean he is playing with the team and he is hustling with them. So this could be exciting. The fact is that we're trying to get Baisley back right now.
Obviously, that's shocking to me because I'm just sitting here being like, this team is probably going to be what we have going forward. And here we are now on the other side of that, and it seems like there's a chance at least Baisley could be up there and competing. I think it's the time of the year that you really want to see Baisley playing, because he has been, you know, inconsistent, to say it nicely. Sometimes he's been, you know, completely quiet in games, and sometimes he's had really, really good games. So I feel like this is the time of year, if we can get him out there and be a focal point of our offense, that could be really good for him. So obviously, like, getting someone like him back in the middle of the year is a big shot in the arm. I think that will really help the guys out. I think it'll help him out in his progression. So like you said, there's no guarantees that he's going to be coming back, but to me, that's the type of energy that we could use right now.
Yeah, and one thing I want to throw out there also, as we've addressed this as well, is, you know, SGA was originally told, we were told, I want to say March 30th, by Ryan Stiles, that SGA was going to be out to mid-April. That is something that we are looking at now as we're, you know, right on the doorstep to mid-April. Darius Baisley's coming back. I mean, like I said to Mark, I said if the Oklahoma City Thunder were going to win and win a lot of games, we were going to have to almost be full strength right after the Jazz game to go on that crazy run right there. We could win a bunch of games in a row, but that would have to be, we would have to be healthy. Getting Baisley back is a big part of that. But, you know, that gives us only a few 4 or 5 days before we need to have everybody healthy. Whether or not that can happen or not, that's yet to be seen. But 4 or 5 days is mid-April. So if Ryan Stiles is correct, then SGA could be back during that nice run that we have of very winnable games. Again, this is all, you know, just sitting here looking at the stuff. I'm not saying that this team isn't going to put the players out there that are healthy. If SGA is healthy, I do believe he wants to be out there playing with the team. Same with Roby, same with Dort, same with Baisley. These are guys they want to be out there. Whether or not the organization lets them, it just depends on when they are healthy. If they are healthy at the end of April and that's when they're healthy, SGA is not going to be put out in the games with only, you know, 20 games, 15 games, because it's going to affect the draft slot that we're going to be at. But they will put him in if we have, you know, 25 or 23 games left, whatever we have left right now. They will put him in to be able to win, because we have a legit chance with nobody else being able to pull wins off right now to sneak a few wins in and make it at least a decent run for 10th spot.
Yeah, I mean, anything could happen. And, you know, they could just decide to shut him down still. So we don't even know. But this is obviously some good news in that his recovery is coming along. And so we're going to take that as a really positive sign. And hopefully we can see more of Baisley. We enjoyed seeing him last year in the bubble. I mean, all year was special for him, but the bubble was really spectacular. And this year has been, for us, a real enjoyment, a real exciting year. A lot of people have expressed disappointment, but you know us, we're not going to dwell on that too much. The fact is, he has been spectacular in so many moments this year, and there are so many times where just watching him play, it's just been like, how did he do that? And here we are, you know, after an extended absence, it seems like we could be seeing more of Baisley back. So obviously that's the highlight of today to take away, everybody, because that pumps me up.
Yeah, and this is a real quick shout out to Chencho. He was the guy that informed us that Dec was going to be going to Oklahoma City Thunder. He did so about an hour and a half before anybody else broke the news. It was really awesome that Chencho was able to do this. But Gabriel Dec, he's going to be joining the Oklahoma City Thunder. He's going to get paid about $4 million a year for the next 4 years. I think it's a $16 million contract. When I asked Chencho about Gabriel Dec, because Chencho's seen Gabriel Dec play multiple times because he plays for Real Madrid, he said he is a Kenny Hustle type player. He is all over the place. He's super intense, and he's all about those extra things to do. That's exciting to me. Having another tool like Kenny Hustle will be fun, and I'm excited about Gabriel Dec. I know there's a lot of people that are all about Gabriel Dec right now, and I am definitely one of those guys, because I think that he could come on right away and make a major impact on this team.
Yeah, I mean, we've got new players coming on. We've got brand new players that have just started playing for us. We got players returning. And, you know, obviously we've got a game tomorrow night, and we're pumped up about that. And we're pumped up about this season continuing. Obviously, win or lose from this point on, we're in a great spot. And we're going to always cheer for this team to win. And we know that's why you joined us here at The Last Storm. So thank you so much for joining us for The Last Storm. Thunder up.